Today is the 21st day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic. It is a joy and an honor to be here with you today. And here to take the next step forward. That's what we do every day. We kind of lock arms and lock spirits and hearts and put one foot in front of the other and take another step forward on our journey. The journey of discovering our own hearts. The journey of opening the scriptures and letting them open us. The journey of inviting the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And the journey of the day. And so grateful to be here with you. As every day of this year is a 20th year celebration. So yesterday we concluded the book of Esther, which brings us now for the 20th time to begin something brand new, very different. The book of Job, which is one of my favorites. Personally, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of literature in all of history. It poetically deals with a human problem, the problem of evil and suffering, and trying to sort it out. The ultimate question, why me? How did this happen to me? And then wrestling, and that's important. That's what this book does. Wrestling for an answer. Reaching, grasping, groping for an answer. So, historically, Job's origins, from a scholar perspective, have been disputed largely because there isn't really any historical context in the book. It doesn't name like historical figures to give clues. And so without much context, then there's without a lot of context, there is a lot of conjecture. But scholars often come to a conclusion that Job may very well be one of the most ancient books in all of the Bible, but that is disputed even in Jewish and Hebrew tradition. Some scholars believe that because it has really archaic Hebrew words that are no longer used, and the original manuscripts and the uniqueness of the words, then Job goes all the way back to being a contemporary of Abraham or Jacob. Others believe it's a lot more recent, and it was written by a scribe that was returning from exile, whose native tongue was no longer Hebrew. Many follow a tradition that Job is written or collected and used as a treatise on human suffering by Moses. If Moses wrote this down, he may have been writing down oral traditions that had been passed down for millennia, or just really trying to work out a story that deals with suffering and pain as a teachable lesson. Regardless, because we don't know. So regardless, it's in the Bible, and it is a beautifully written, I mean, some of the most riveting literature in all the world to help us wrestle. And maybe if we just stay there as we go into this today and in the coming days. When we suffer, if we ever do get perspective, it's not in the moment usually. And sometimes we never understand why at all. And so we wrestle. We wrestle until we come to a place of some kind of acceptance. Because grief can do some crazy things to us. And we move through different stages of it, and we're wrestling until we can finally come to a place inside of our body, in our nervous system, in our heart, in our spirit of accepting and finding a way to wrestle through the issues. And so when we move into Job, we'll be dealing with questions of like undeserved suffering. And that will be Job's plight. He has a day that is so unthinkable, it's unimaginable. And then we will begin to meet his friends. They will come to him. They will sit with him. They will be there. They will offer their presence. They will grieve with him, but then they'll start talking. And they'll be attempting to help Job find the answer that he's wrestling with. They will be wrestling, because it's unsettling to see what happens to Job. And it will begin to sound familiar, because often we'll find what Job's friends have to say, the advice that they have to give, feels completely valid. It's the kind of things that we would say, only to find out that in the end, they don't know what they're talking about. And we'll begin to discover that the more we demand answers for our issues, our suffering, our grief, and contrast it with the glory of God, with the presence of God, we become struck speechless. Because it comes down to a choice: can we struggle to get our answers, or do we want God? Do we want his glory? Do we want to witness his power and strength, his beauty? Is indescribable. It is God alone that gives and sustains our lives. But when we're suffering, that's hard to see. When everything's going great, it's easy to acknowledge, but when everything's not, everything's falling absolutely apart. We've been betrayed in ways that we cannot comprehend. Or we have sustained losses that we simply cannot absorb. We cannot lose them. And so our nervous systems are blown apart in trauma, and we are asking why. And we can't usually find an immediate answer. And the more we demand, the more we become aware that we're searching for God, to judge God. And that's scary. But that is something that Job very much reveals. We can spend our whole lives looking for these answers, or we can spend our whole lives looking for the presence of God. And that may sound trite, but it's the truth. Because all of our lives will boil down to that awareness. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Knowledge, right? Answers were exchanged for the presence of God. This is like a core truth of our human experience. Our existence boils down to this truth, and Job helps us wrestle with it, because parts of our story are always incomplete. There's always more going on than we ever knew. And sometimes that is overwhelming, to find out we've been living in a reality that has never been true, or that there's so much more to the story than we ever could have understood. And it brings terrible, terrible suffering upon us. But suffering has its way, doesn't it? It'll wear down everything that can shake. It is a continual invitation to leave behind the knowledge of good and evil and seek hope in God alone, helplessly seeking presence. Suffering always asks us to wrestle with whether or not we believe God is good. And when we can answer, yes, He is good, even in the face of unspeakable suffering and pain, and we know we're walking a path that is true. And so may we drink deeply as we move into this new territory, into the book of Job, and open ourselves, because none of us are immune. We may not be suffering right now, but we have. Or we may be in like trauma that we're reliving every day and cannot process and cannot believe. And it hurts so bad that we cannot think straight. Let's allow Job to stir up whatever we need to wrestle with. And in the end, we may find ourselves able to speak the things that Job speaks. Because in the end, Job says, I had only heard about you before. Now, I've seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. And so, with that, we begin the book of Job, chapters 1, 2, and 3 today. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions included 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. In addition, he had a very great household. Thus, he was the greatest of all the people in the East. Now, his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one in turn, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. When the days of their feasting were finished, Job would send for them and sanctify them. He would get up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's customary practice. Now the day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also arrived among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roving about on the earth and from walking back and forth across it." So the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil." And Satan answered the Lord, "Is it for nothing that Job fears God? Have you not made a hedge around him and his household and all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock have increased in the land. But extend your hand and strike everything he has, and he will no doubt curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, "All right then, everything he has is in your power. Only do not extend your hand against the man himself." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now the day came when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job saying, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing beside them, and the Sabaeans swooped down and carried them all away, and they killed the servants with the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." While this one was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants. It has consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell you." While this one was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and carried them all away, and they killed the servants with the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." While this one was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind swept across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone escaped to tell you." Then Job got up and tore his robe. He shaved his head, and then he threw himself down with his face to the ground. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be blessed." In all this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God with moral impropriety. Again, the day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also arrived among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roving about on the earth and from walking back and forth across it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a pure and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil. And he still holds firmly to his integrity, so that you stirred me up to destroy him without reason." But Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin. Indeed, a man will give up all that he has to save his life. But extend your hand and strike his bone and his flesh, and he will no doubt curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "All right, he is in your power. Only preserve his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he afflicted Job with a malignant ulcer from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Job took a shard of broken pottery to scrape himself with while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Are you still holding firmly to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he replied, "You're talking like one of the godless women would do. Should we receive what is good from God and not also receive what is evil?" In all this, Job did not sin by what he said. When Job's three friends heard about all this calamity that had happened to him, each of them came from his own country. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They met together to come to show sympathy for him and to console him. But when they gazed intently from a distance, but did not recognize him, they began to weep loudly. Each of them tore his robes and they threw dust into the air over their heads. And they sat down with him on the ground for 7 days and 7 nights. Yet no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day he was born. Job spoke up and said, "Let the day on which I was born perish, and the night that said, 'A man has been conceived,' that day, let it be darkness. Let not God on high regard it, nor let light shine on it. Let darkness and the deepest shadow claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let whatever blackens the day terrify it. At night, let darkness seize it. Let it not be included among the days of the year. Let it not enter among the number of the months. Indeed, let that night be barren. Let no shout of joy penetrate it. Let those who curse the day curse it. Those who are prepared to rouse Leviathan, let its morning stars be darkened. Let it wait for daylight but find none. Nor let it see the first rays of dawn, because it did not shut the doors of my mother's womb on me, nor did it hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? And why did I not expire as I came out of the womb? Why did the knees welcome me? And why were there two breasts that I might nurse at them? For now I would be lying down and would be quiet. I would be asleep and then at peace with kings and counselors of the earth who built for themselves places now desolate, or with princes who possessed gold, who filled their palaces with silver. Or why was I not buried like a stillborn infant? Like infants who have never seen the light. There the wicked cease from turmoil, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners relax together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. Small and great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why does God give light to one who is in misery, and life to those whose soul is bitter? To those who wait for death that does not come, and search for it more than for hidden treasures? who rejoice, even to jubilation, and are exultant when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes in place of my food, and my groanings flow forth like water. For the very thing I dreaded has happened to me, and what I feared has come upon me. I have no ease. I have no quietness. I cannot rest. Turmoil has come upon me. First Corinthians 14, 1 through 17. Pursue love and be eager for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one speaking in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, for no one understands. He is speaking mysteries by the spirits. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be strengthened. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I help you unless I speak to you with a revelation or with knowledge or prophecy or teaching? It is similar for lifeless things that make a sound, like a flute or harp. Unless they make a distinction in the notes, how can what is played on the flute or harp be understood? If, for example, the trumpet makes an unclear sound, who will get ready for battle? It is the same for you. If you do not speak clearly with your tongue, how will anyone know what is being said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are probably many kinds of languages in the world, and none is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of a language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. It is the same with you. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, seek to abound in order to strengthen the church. So then, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. What should I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing praises with my spirit, but I will also sing praises with my mind. Otherwise, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can someone without the gift say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? For you are certainly giving thanks well, but the other person is not strengthened. Psalm 37, 12 through 29. Evil men plot against the godly and viciously attack them. The Lord laughs in disgust at them, for he knows that their day is coming. Evil men draw their swords and prepare their bows to bring down the oppressed and needy, and to slaughter those who are godly. Their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. The little bit that a godly man owns is better than the wealth of many evil men. For evil men will lose their power. But the Lord sustains the godly. The Lord watches over the innocent day by day, and they possess a permanent inheritance. They will not be ashamed when hard times come. When famine comes, they will have enough to eat. But evil men will die. The Lord's enemies will be incinerated. They will go up in smoke. Evil men borrow, but do not repay their debts. But the godly show compassion and are generous. Surely those favored by the Lord will possess the land, but those rejected by him will be wiped out. The Lord grants success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. Even if he trips, he will not fall headlong. For the Lord holds his hand. I was once young. Now I am old. I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children forced to search for food. All day long they show compassion and lend to others, and their children are blessed. Turn away from evil. Do what is right. Then you will enjoy lasting security. For the Lord promotes justice and never abandons his faithful followers. They are permanently secure, but the children of the wicked are wiped out. The godly will possess the land and will dwell in it permanently. Proverbs 21, 25, and 26. What the sluggard desires will kill him, for his hands have refused to work. All day long he has craved greedily. The righteous person gives and does not hold back. Father, we thank you for your word. And we're moving into some very, very deep, very necessary territory in the scriptures. Not as if we don't every day, but as we move into suffering, pain, grief, emotional anguish, unspeakable, that there are not words to explain, just raw agony in body, in mind, in spirit. In Job, and the wrestling. And as we wrestle with our own stories, we come with open hands and open hearts and ask that you be in the wrestling with us, leading us to see what we need to see and hear, what we need to hear and understand, what we need to understand, and that your presence is the one thing that we cannot go without as we explore this. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus, who suffered mightily. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. So be connected. Stay connected. Get connected. Remain connected. As we take this journey. It's good to be connected, especially since we're day by day, step by step, moving through. And so, thanks for doing that. So we moved into Job today. And the complexion of, you know, where we're going for the next little bit is very different than where we've been. And Bible's going to kind of take us down through some of the lower of the valleys that we experience during our lives. Jill and I, we had a conversation about this, actually on the 1st of this month, and then again on the 4th of this month, suffering, sharing from our own story, something we're trying to do a little bit more as we move into and through our 20th year together. And that was all to share a song in preparation for coming into Job. So just remind you that that's the song I've been kind of talking about here for a bit now. If you didn't get a chance to listen to us talking about it, you can go back to August 1st and August 4th as we move into Job. The song is called Blessed Be the Name. It is straight out of Job. And you can find it wherever music is, wherever you stream or download or purchase music, wherever that may be, no matter where you are in the world. Just search for Blessed Be the Name, Brian and Jill Harden, and you will find it. And I hope you will as we move into this territory. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing by gathering together here and creating a safe place to allow the scriptures to inform our choices and guide our hearts, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you with all humility for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. This is Susie from Colorado. I just heard Lennox calling in. And I'm so glad to hear your voice again. But Lennox, I hear that you're really, really down because of this long COVID. And I want to lift you up, brother. Please, please take courage. We're here. And I know it helps you to hear our voice because you said so. So I wanted to, you know, just take a minute and call in, tell you that you are loved. And we're here praying for you. Also, so many people are going through chemo and cancer, and I just really want to lift them up to the Lord. Also, I called in a couple of prayer requests, and I forgot to say if the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will. I don't want anything that's not of His will, so I just pray the Lord's will be done in all of our lives and in mine, and that my heart would always be true and loyal to His will. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Mirabel Viviana from Scotland again. And I just wanted to thank everybody so much for the prayers in general that I feel often enveloped in. And I wanted to let you all know why, just by listening and going into this deep connection with God, I feel we hold each other so well. At least I feel I do pray with you along here in Scotland. Your prayers are just so powerful, and I try my best to give my bed and my light. And now I wanted to tell everybody a praise report. I'm just so amazed how God works. Anyway, my friend who got hit by a tree on the 26th of June, who was life-threatening injured, and who I called in for supported prayer, she got home, she can walk, and she can speak and write again and eat all the things that she couldn't do when I called in last time. She couldn't even breathe on her own, and I'm just absolutely grateful and wanted to thank the community so much for the prayers and holding her and your thoughts and love. And thank you, obviously, to Brian and Jill and all the Hardens for holding this space so, so safe and peaceful. And yeah, I'm grateful to be part of this community. Thank you, and loads of love from Scotland.
Good morning, DAB. This is Winnie B. I'm calling to pray for Anonymous from California. I heard your prayer request on August 9th. You needed vertebrae surgery, and you're asking for healing and wisdom to make the right choice. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I lift Anonymous from California up to you, Father God, and I pray for your mercy, God, that you would heal him. You are the God that heals us. We ask you, Lord God, that you would touch his back and align up his back the way it's supposed to operate, Lord God, the way it's supposed to work correctly, so that he is not paralyzed, Lord God. We pray for your mercy over him, Father God. And Lord, please give him wisdom to make the right decisions, even with the right doctors, oh God. May you even give the doctors wisdom as to how to clear up the situation with his back, Father God. We thank you in advance for your direction given to him. We ask you to bless him, give him peace of mind and peace of heart, Father God. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Dabbers. I am responding to the August 10th prayer request for Lennox in California. You have long COVID and you're not able to work, and you're having a struggle with your faith, which is totally understandable after being sick for so long. I just lift you up in the name of Jesus and ask God that he would give you his grace and his peace. Peace comes from God, and grace comes from God, and we need grace to walk this faith lifestyle in Christ. We need faith to do that. It's not done in our own strength. And so, Father, I ask you to bless him, to increase his faith, Lord God, to increase grace and peace in his life as he waits upon you, God, for healing in the name of Jesus, or cure, Father God. May you give doctors and nurses, Lord God, wisdom as to what to do to help him. And God, may you touch his body, make him whole. You are God. You are the healer. You heal our diseases. So I pray for him that you would strengthen him in Jesus' name. And God, help him to stay in the Word. That is his sword. That's his food and water, Lord God, that will help his inner man. And Father, I just pray for your mercy upon him, God. I pray for your mercy and your grace. May you strengthen him in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Karen in St. Louis. I want to pray for my sister from Junk to Treasure. I'm praying that God's will would be done and his glory shown through this opportunity that she has. And I so understand Junk to Treasure having things to fix at your place. I had a business. I still kind of do it on the side, but I took a full-time job last year because of how COVID just changed the business situation for my business. My accountant, though, surely has witnessed how faithful God has been to me, though. So, Father God, I just pray for our sister from junk to treasure, Lord Jesus, that these gifts that you've given her to be able to create things and this potential customer that she has, I pray, Father God, that you go before her in all aspects of the design of the production, of the procurement of any of the materials, the supplies that she needs, Father God. I pray that it would be very successful. It would be a profitable adventure that would lead to more and more business from this particular customer and beyond. I pray, Father God, that she can rest in you in this, that she would sense that you are working in this, Father God, and that, as she said, that it would be a testimony to glorify you, Father God. We just praise you and we thank you that you are a provider, you are a protector, you are our ultimate need meter. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, DAB. Thank you, Brian and Jill and the family and everyone at DAB that helps out. God bless you.
Brian and Jill, it is Dr. John from Jordan, New York, and I've got chills and tears in my eyes listening to Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. OMG. That is just stunning. So that's my favorite version, and you guys just absolutely nailed it. And I'm lost for words. So thank you so much for that, your hearts. Thank you for what you have put into the music. Thank you what you put into Daily Audio Bible. Obviously, it has been a blessing for me. This is my 19th year. I joined in 2007 on July 17th. And my birthday is July 24th. And Jill, you should have gone into labor just a day earlier. And, you know, then Zeke and I could have shared a birthday. Funny story, when we were talking on Facebook about names for Ezekiel, and I was like, Wind Farm, hello, his name has to be Ezekiel. And Jill, of course, not wanting to lie, said, we'll see, John. Nailed it. Anyway, you guys are a complete blessing to us. Thank you so much. We love you. Take care. Dr. John from New York signing off. Bye-bye.